You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Well, guys, this is the end. This is the last transmission we'll send out for the Screener Squad. There will be no more episodes because we just watched this movie, Last Transmissions. Oh, sorry, Lost Transmissions. Whew. Screener Squad's still going. Don't worry, everybody.
Yeah, it's going fierce now that every movie has been pushed back. Sorry to date this review.
Yeah, hey, a little behind-the-scenes chatter there, everybody. you're going to be hearing a lot of reviews.
Did we cancel the site without anybody telling me? This is how I'm being told?
No, I would have told you guys way before this if that was the case. I don't think
Hollywood is going to be too upset with Netflix for sweeping the Oscars this year.
I don't know. Maybe at this point Hulu will probably compete for Oscar stuff. Who's going to compete against them? Anyways, this movie is Lost Transmissions. Now, I only knew about this movie because we covered it on Breakfast Pub last week, and I remember seeing the trailer and I was like, you know, could be interesting, whatever. And then we saw that there were some interview opportunities, and I'm like, I want to sign up. And unfortunately, we didn't get those, but we got to watch this movie instead, and thankfully, it was actually a lot better than I expected it to be.
I'm just still... Yeah. Thinking about the fact that your Alexandra Daddario interview chances were just completely crushed.
Yeah, to be fair, I wonder what kind of questions I would ask her, because it would mostly just be, hey, how did it feel to be in only 3 minutes of the movie?
Yeah, sir, I guess it'd be ma'am, not appearing in this movie, it almost seems like.
Miss not appearing.
Yeah, like, I literally, like, went through most of the movie, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe Daddario was just in the trailer.
You know, that's the thing, like, wouldn't it be, like, that Bernstein Bear effect, where you're like, you didn't actually see Alexandra Daddario, she was never in the movie.
It's like, no, you're both lying to me, you're lying, she's on the poster, she's got top billing.
That's the weird thing, where she's top billed in this movie, but honestly, she has less screen time than most of the other supporting characters in this movie. So, but the big thing too is that this is mostly a two-man show with Simon Pegg and Juno Temple, to be fair. And you know what, yeah. Nathan, why don't you give us a little synopsis here? What is this movie about?
Okay, well, this movie is about Hannah, who is a songwriter who's kind of living in a state of, you know, where you're just in your, I guess, late 20s and you're just taking, you know, shitty jobs just to make the paycheck. And she gets a call from her old friend who was a super respected producer played by Simon Pegg. And she slowly starts to realize that he is not all there. He is lapsed on his medication and he is diagnosed schizophrenic and is obsessed with these frequencies that distort time, I guess. I don't know. I'm not saying that the movie doesn't do a good job explaining it, but I just couldn't really understand...
just basically that he's deeply paranoid schizophrenic. Like, he's got
Wait a sec. You wanted his insane delusions to make sense?
A little bit. Just I mean, this movie basically is just about their relationship and how they manage to open each other up in weird ways, but also just her realizing that this man really needs help.
Yeah, I felt that the movie overall is just talking about how hard it is to live with people you care, or, you know, handle with people you care about who have really intense mental problems like this, you know? Because it's not just that he's like, oh, it's kind of funny, like, movie-level schizophrenia. This is, like, actual schizophrenia. People, like, lapsing into these moments and then, like, seemingly recovering enough to, like, convince the doctor, like, oh, I don't have any problems. I shouldn't be here. I can leave, right? You know, kind of thing. And you're just... It's so frustrating and yet relatable. You're like, yeah, I totally understand those problems in this case.
Yeah.
Sure.
Simon Pegg and Juno Temple, honestly, are the reason to see this movie.
They are so good in this movie.
They are fucking phenomenal. And what I really respect about this movie is it really avoided all cliches about, like, oh, we're dealing with mental illness. Oh, look how he's, like, changed me for the better. And, you know, like, it never got into cliches, which I really enjoyed. And
the best medicine is love.
Exactly. That's
sort of cliche.
And Simon Pegg, I mean, Juno Temple is really amazing in this movie, but Simon Pegg really, he's given the occasion to step into dramatic work. Like, I often think about his scene in Shaun of the Dead with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
In the bar, yeah, at the Winchester.
Yeah, or The World's End. But outside of Edgar Wright films, he really seems to be pigeonholed into plucky comic relief.
Yeah, and, like Mission Impossible, Star Trek, he's always the goofy dude.
He's fantastic.
To be fair, during the mockery of the Kirk and Spock scene, where they kind of flip it, he's the only one carrying the dramatic weight of that scene that the scene deserves. Just saying.
Yeah.
Well, I've always seen that Simon Pegg is a much more like nuanced and deep guy than most people give credit for, because they just don't try to give him anything. So it's really nice to see a role that he can really dig into, and he can still be funny in this movie, but he gets some dramatic depths where you're just like, wow, there's nothing funny about what he's doing here.
You know? Oh, yeah. And he's fantastic. I mean, some of his scenes, it's just like he hits levels that I don't think I would be able to see by most other actors.
Yeah, no, I'm very, very impressed. And it really helps, too, that the way this is written and directed really helps emphasize these two performances. Because it's a writer-director named Catherine O'Brien, who we unfortunately also didn't get to interview. They, you know, they were busy. They got scheduled out. But she's actually not done that much work. Mostly short films, actually. So this is her big feature film debut. And even though it definitely has the vibe of an indie movie, it's much more professional looking than I expected it to be. Like, you know, like for such a clearly limited budget, they managed to get some really cool shots and some good pacing in the way that they structured the movie.
I only semi-disagree with the pacing. I didn't find that this movie was a slog, but at times it felt like they were repeating the same scene over again.
It would occasionally meander. It's like it would follow the plot as loosely as it is, and then occasionally just does stuff every now and then. You know, just like, they're in a car and they're doing I Spy, and they go to a pool party and they talk to these cute girls and they start making out with each other. And
the sound editing, though, is fantastic as well.
No, I think it's fairly well put together for being such a slow budget film. But Brad, what do you think about that?
I agree completely. I enjoyed a lot of the sudden shots of brilliance. And there's this really beautiful shot early on where you're in a house and suddenly you kind of creep out to the car outside. And I'm not going to spoil it entirely, but me and my mother-in-law and wife watched this together. We were like, what? That's a great shot. What kind of budget did you say this had? And again, the performances really help with the whole pace of the movie for me. Like, I think Juno Temple has been a leading lady for years. I don't know why she isn't. Other than maybe all the leading work in big blockbusters, if she gets scripts for them, she's like, nope, this is weak. This is lame. Not going to take it. That's my guess, because she always carries the films I see her in.
Yeah, it feels like that, because honestly, she is actually fairly talented in the movies where she actually gets a chance. But when you look at her resume, most of the stuff she gets cast in is just kind of trashy garbage. Like, what, Sin City 2, Maleficent, you know, like
she was in Maleficent.
Yeah, she was one of the.
That's right. Yeah, one of the fairies. Yeah,
I think
one of
the most hated, characters in that movie is when she's given a character piece of some sort. Like, I love her. The Killer Joe. Oh,
That's the one I was gonna say. Sorry.
sorry to just step all over you on
Killer
that.
Killer Joe.
Unsane. She was really great in.
Oh, I forgot she was in that.
Yeah, she had dreads in that. That's. It's probably
Far From the Madding Crowd. She was really good in that one too. And Black Mask, she had a nice little cameo.
The Three Musketeers. I'm just kidding.
Well, just how terribly wasted was she in that Christopher Nolan Batman flick? Which one was it?
I can't even remember the character's name.
It was Rises, because she was the roommate of Catwoman.
Yeah, the one where everyone's like, so is, it's like, is Catwoman a lesbian or not? Or is that her sister? Or
is that how they tricked Juno Temple into being in it? Because the character sounded interesting on paper.
Hey, I that, mean, that there one are line a lot she read, of fantastic actors in Dark Knight Rises that they don't no, you're do right, much you're right. with. I mean, fucking I Josh Stewart.
Matthew Modine.
Yeah.
A lot of them. Yeah. No, but sorry, we're not talking about Batman.
Yeah, Dark Knight Rises is not on Scarecrow's trial right now.
But, you know, and it's weird. I can't really say a whole lot about this movie in terms of, like, plot and story, because I feel like actually watching and experiencing it is a much better treat than trying to hear us talk about it, you know?
Yeah,
like,
agreed.
Unless you put on, like, a really good voice and performance right now, how are you going to capture those soft moments between Juno Temple and Simon Pegg in this movie?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like I'm struggling to think of ways to say other than, you know, when I say that I really like this movie, it's not like it's like the best indie movie I've seen all year, but it, you know, I came in with kind of moderate expectations for the trailer, and it definitely exceeded those, and it managed to be entertaining, be funny, be thoughtful, and actually have a couple movie moments every now and then, you know?
It also managed to, like, what I wasn't expecting out of Simon Pegg's performance was his intensity.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he flat out gets violent at a couple points where you're just like, oh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, like actually scary violent.
And, you know, it's funny, they've been promoting this movie as like a big, like, you know, think piece about the healthcare system in the U.S. Kind of. Like, it says it, and it mentions like, oh, yeah, I wish we were more like England's healthcare system. Not much else is made up after that about it, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's not doesn't... like we need anything bigger than the coronavirus to be a big call to action. Yeah.
It's not pandering to the bleeding hearts. It's no. just kind of telling it how it is.
It's know? Trying yeah. to be a human story. You know, the healthcare stuff is important to address, but it's not just like a, this is why he is a rallying cause for us to unite against the healthcare system. It's like, no, just these are the problems that, you know, it's just the way that I've seen with healthcare stuff. This is the stuff that really hurts a lot of these people with these conditions, where it's like, yeah, you can't get the insurance for it, they have bad doctors diagnosing them, or they get convinced like, oh, I guess there's nothing wrong with this guy because reasons.
I mean, it's not Joker, so
there's no background commentaries of kill the rich in this movie.
Yeah, wow, would that be a third act twist?
Simon Pegg leads a revolution.
The transmissions are telling me to kill the rich.
You ask me if I have negative thoughts. All my thoughts are negative thoughts.
Yeah, you sound kind of like a Bond villain there.
I can't. Simon Pegg's accent is too specific that I can't really emulate it very well.
Yeah.
No, very true.
Yeah, I. sorry. Yeah.
No, I guess just the about only your Bond major villain, complaints but... I can really say about this movie is that, like you said, it has a bit of a meandering tone where it can lose focus at times. And I'm still really annoyed that they just did nothing with Alexandra Daddario. Like, she literally shows up for one scene in the first third and then in the last third for like a minute a piece, and she just reads a couple lines, and she's a bratty, you know, pop star type, and then you just never think about it again.
Yeah, she pretty much just played the role that Anna Faris had, like, for most of the 2000s.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, and I think Alexandra Daddario can be a decent actress. They just, it was not shown at all in this movie, so...
I thought her short How High monologue was pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's
fine. It's not like a, well, like we were saying, a necessity to the film or its plot, but it was fun filler to pass the time briefly.
Yeah. No, but I don't know what else to say. Any other thoughts?
Well, what did you guys think of the supporting friend cast? I just wanted to say
they were also in the movie.
Yeah. But his buddy, I thought, really set the tone of what the actual movie is going to be, because it kind of opens up with, oh, no, not my problem. And I'm thinking, since this is very early in the movie, oh, that guy's the jerk who should have been more empathetic and opened up and been a true friend, but he's just an ass. But then, like you were saying earlier, this isn't that movie. This is actually dealing with a real condition that people have. And we completely understand why he would have those feelings and why anybody would have those feelings about their friend that went into these type of episodes. So I just thought he did a really good job carrying that, even though it was such a brief performance.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, no,
but other than that, yeah, the other supporting cast members were also in the movie. It's like I said, it's just like, yeah,
I think one was pregnant.
I guess. I
don't remember her name or if she was with anybody. Who the baby's daddy was, not sure, but she was there.
Yeah, I mean, this movie just falls on the strength of its leads, and everybody else is just sort of, you know, occupying space to let these leads bring out fucking terrific performances.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I guess artists. I'll just... Oh, so great.
Nope, just saying they're artistes. Artists, yeah. Stuck in Time.
With a capital A.
Billy Pilgrim was on Stuck in Time, you guys.
Well, why don't we wind down to final thoughts then? You know, like I said, it's not that I think this movie is great, but I thought it was actually pretty good, and I really enjoyed watching it, and I even had some great, you know, little moments throughout it. But it really is just, it rests firmly on the shoulders of Juno Temple and Simon Pegg. And even one thing I thought that was really cool is a whole bit when he's trying to direct her on how to sing into a microphone and recording booth early on in the film. Yeah. That whole scene was great. Like, just a nice, intimate, powerful little sequence that you're like, wow, you don't get enough of these quiet moments in these kind of movies that pay off so well.
There's another really great sequence that I liked with Simon Pegg editing a song and slowly just mentally breaking.
Yeah. Those scenes are rough. But otherwise, I mean, it's still pretty standard in terms of being indie film material, but I'm going to give this 7.5 harsh truths being spoken to a crappy boy band out of 10. Was he wrong?
Well, the guy had a good voice. He was right about that.
Well then, Bradley, why don't you go ahead?
I enjoyed this as well. I always enjoy films that kind of do character studies on people who are damaged but deserve help and show that empathy on how they can get help. But also, like you said earlier, Nathan, don't turn it into a perhaps they're the ones that are helping us. Like, okay, settle down. You know, and I'm a bleeding heart, trust me. I love being pandered to with love is the answer to everything.
So do you like Interstellar for that kind of stuff? Like,
God damn it, I was just about to say that, Justin.
I need it to be like ninja pandering. Like with Interstellar, gross.
So you're more of a contact guy.
Actually, yeah. How did they do that mirror shot?
That mirror shot's like my favorite shot ever.
That's the that's Zemeckis' technical wizardry, man. So
technical wizardry.
Yeah, that and Welcome.
I enjoy Simon Pegg.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that. No, I don't. Anyways,
sorry.
Simon Pegg, huge fan. I got the Cornetto trilogy. Juno Temple, waiting for her to be a leading lady. She already is one. You just got to dig deep for those gems, and this is one of those gems. I'm going to give this 8 hidden medications out of 10 bottles thrown in the trash.
Sweet. All right, then, Nathan.
Yeah, I was expecting kind of like a mixture of like a movie by John Carney at best, like Begin Again or Sing Street or something like that, where it's like lightly about music, but it's more about like the character's issues. And then it would be like, like I was explaining earlier and like Bradley mentioned, you know, he's the one helping me more than I'm helping him. And I'm so glad it wasn't that. What I got instead was a movie far more human than one of those. Not that I don't love my sappy shit just like Bradley does, but it's I really enjoy the movie. It does meander at points, and it feels at times like a very, very standard indie film, but goddamn, Simon Pegg and Juno Temple are doing some of the best work they've ever been given. Just saying a lot, because Simon Pegg and Juno Temple are two great actors who are often utilized exactly how they should be, but never utilized this well. I would give this 8 out of 10 singing intensely take after take in a dark room.
Nice.
Yeah. It actually really makes me want to see whatever Catherine O'Brien does next, honestly.
Like, oh, totally.
Yeah, I feel like with an even stronger focus, she can make some really good material.
Yeah. If we ever get to see any movies again with how many have been moved over.
Fair enough. Tune in for an avalanche of digital screeners in the coming weeks.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'll just sit at the Winchester and wait for all this to blow over.